Good morning. It's really good for us to be here together, amen? I know we have quite a few visitors in the house today, some escaping the flood out in the Steens area, and we're really glad that you are here today and that somehow you will be blessed by our time together. I know that you're a blessing to have here to us. So with that said, we're going to get right in. This is the last Sunday of 2018, and for some of you in the audience today, 2018 is a year that you are ready for it to be gone. You're ready for 2018 to be gone, and for some of you, you hate to see 2018 leave because it's been a great year. Well, what if I told you, no matter where you're at this year, with 2018, what if I told you that 2019 could be the best year ever? And that was largely up to you. Would you believe me? Would you believe me if I told you that you could have the best year ever in 2019? Now, unfortunately, you can't have anything you want, all right? Sometimes we get that message from the world that you can have anything you want. You can't have anything you want because there are some physical laws that God has put in place. I'm never going to be a professional athlete. It just ain't going to happen. All right, there's some physical laws. For example, like gravity. You know, I heard a guy say, I have no idea who said this, but he said, you know what, you can dislike gravity if you want, but gravity doesn't care. Gravity simply is. It is a law of the universe. Today we're going to be talking about some spiritual laws. And just like the physical laws of the universe that maintain order in the universe and the structure of the universe, and that we really can't do a whole lot to change, what goes up must come down. You can stay up for a little while till your jet fuel runs out, or until you have to come down off the ladder because you're hungry, but what goes up must come down. Gravity and those laws are real, and there are some spiritual laws as well that are just as real. This morning we're going to be talking about two of those laws, and the first one we'll just call the law of choice, or the law of free will. And that's a law that, for whatever reason, and I know we've all wondered from time to time, why in the world did God give us free choice, especially when we mess up, right? You're wondering why didn't somebody just keep me from doing that? What I did, and you know, we look back and most of us can very easily see the mistakes that we made in the past. For whatever reason, God in His wisdom allows us to make choices. Since Adam and Eve, we choose which desserts to have over the Christmas holidays, or how many. We choose what to wear. We chose what to wear this morning. We choose whether to get in a car and drink and drive. We choose whether to lie to our spouse. Or if we're lied to, we choose whether or not we want to forgive. You chose this morning to be here. Maybe some of you didn't. Maybe some of you kids, you had to come because your parents made you come, but one day you'll be able to make that choice as well. In fact, we look at the advertising world, the advertising industry, and the entire advertising industry is aimed at influencing our choices. Is it not? I mean, there are so many choices that we can make, and there have been lots of studies that have been done where researchers try to figure out, is it better to not have as many choices? Is it really harder? I can remember, yeah, this dates me, but when I was growing up, we had two television channels. We lived out in the boondocks, and we had two television channels, and I can remember being so jealous because the people in town had a third one that we couldn't get. In fact, I heard somebody say one time, the definition of Netflix is you spend more time trying to find something to watch and actually watching it. We have so many choices. I read something recently where it said that in the 1970s, the average person had 500 advertisements thrown at them in a day's time. 500. And so 500 choices either to say yes, no, or I don't care. 500 in a day. And could you guess what that number is today? In 2018, they've estimated that the average person in America is bombarded with 5,000 advertisements in a day's time. That's a lot of choices to make. Folks, the truth of the law of choice that God has put upon us means that you are responsible for the choices that you make. You are responsible for the choices that you make. There are some things that we can look around us or we can look in our past and we can say, you know what, I didn't do that, and that's why this is the way it is. And, you know, I have to concede that we make some choices that harm other people, that there are some consequences for other people because of the choices that we make. But by and large, the choices that you make today, you are responsible for those choices. Let me just give you a good example. There's a man. And this man, somebody did something to him. Somebody wronged him 20 years back, 30 years back. And we probably all know this person, or maybe there's something in our past that we look in the mirror and go, man, this is really me he's talking about. So we all probably fit that description in some way. But that man was wronged, and he has stewed on it, and he has let that, just like a crock pot, he has let that simmer and simmer and simmer for years and years and years, and he's still bitter about it, and maybe he gets over it for a little while, but something always throws him right back in. And if you ask him the reason for his negativity or his unhappiness, he will always be able to point back to that person, that lady, that young person, that instance, and that's the reason why I am who I am and what I am today. And there may be some truth to the fact that we are all influenced by all of the things that happen in our lives. But folks, God has given us the responsibility. We are responsible for the choices that we made. Doesn't matter if somebody else influenced those choices. We ultimately, a grown person, grown folks, we are responsible for the choices that we make. And so much of your future and my future rest in the choices that I've made today, choices that I made in 2018. And so we're gonna skip to the next law, and believe it or not, these laws really sort of work together, and I think you'll see that in just a minute. The next one is the law of sowing and reaping. And we're going to, just because of time, we're going to skip past those scriptures that were up there. We're going to go right into the law of sowing and reaping. And I want you to focus on Galatians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be this morning for the rest of the time, in Galatians chapter 6. And most of the time, if there's four or five verses, we read them all. But today we're just going to read one at a time. Really going to try to dig in and drill deep and dissect these verses and really think about what this means in our lives. Paul says, do not be deceived, verse 7. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And so if you think about what it means when Paul says God cannot be mocked. Don't be deceived. All right? Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. God cannot be mocked. Basically, he's saying that God's way of justice cannot be undone. God's way of doing things, the natural laws that God put in place, both physical and spiritual, they're there, and God put them in place, and you can't get around them. We can't get around gravity. Get around those other physical laws, and we can't get around this law. And this law says that a man sows, and then he reaps. A man plants, and then he harvests what he planted. So Paul is saying, don't be led astray. Don't be fooled. God cannot be ridiculed. He can't be, his way of doing things cannot be mocked. We're not smarter than God is. Worldly wisdom can't change what is real. A man reaps what he sows. And no amount of wishing or ignoring that fact is going to change this. It is a law. I'm going to go back to that one for just a second. So if that's a law, all right, a man is going to reap what he sows. He's going to harvest what he plants. He's going to bear the consequences of the choices that he's made. There's some really sobering news, I guess you would call it bad news, to that, and there's also some good news. And like I told you in a sermon a couple of months ago, I always like to hear the bad news first because I like to end up on with the good news. But the bad news is that, this is the truth that we all need to look in the mirror and take in, and that is that some of the trouble that you're experiencing, I don't like to say this, but it is the truth. Some of the trouble that you're experiencing and some of the trouble that I'm experiencing, it's our own fault. Some of the struggles in your life today is your fault. It's because of choices that you made in the past. Why? Why does it have to be that way? Because you reap what you sow. You see, what you planted last year in 2017, you are harvesting in 2018. What you planted 20 years ago, in your childhood, in your youth, you're harvesting today. For some of us, our sin has grown to the point to where we can't ignore it anymore. You see, we planted that. We're building who we are in the future. It can't be ignored, and maybe it won't just affect me. Maybe my sin that I'm planting, the seeds of sin that I'm planting today, maybe one day they will affect my family. Maybe they'll affect people that I've never even met. Or maybe that's already the case. Some examples that come to mind really easily. What you planted in anger, the things you said, or the way that you reacted, you got to harvest that. It's going to come to fruition. It's going to come to full growth. What you planted in, and this is so true in all of life, what you planted in poor eating, you may be harvesting through bad health. What you planted in entertainment has affected the way you see your spouse or the opposite sex, or what you planted in entertainment may be affecting how you see the world and God, how you see your brothers and sisters. But it's also true that what you don't plant is not going to grow. So you didn't sow in the Word, and so you're not harvesting the strength and the peace that comes from the Word. You're not planting a life of prayer and meditation. And so you're not reaping the peace and the joy and the intimacy with God that comes from that. You're not sowing the thoughts that are noble, right, pure, lovely, true, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy from Philippians 4. We're not sowing those, and so we wonder why our mind isn't ruled by peace. But there's good news also. And the good news is that you can still choose, you can still exercise that power of choice, that first law that we talked about, that spiritual law of choice, you can still exercise that choice to plant what was good. You can choose January the 1st of 2019 to begin a new year by planting good things. And you see, the law of reaping and sowing and reaping, is true in the good things that we plant as well. You have the opportunity. We're alive today, y'all. Amen? We're alive. God has given us another day. And we don't know what's going to happen between now and January the 1st. But it could be that He's going to give us another year. He's going to give us another opportunity with the people that we love. He's given us today another opportunity with the body of Christ. And you can choose to plant good things. And the same law of sowing and reaping. The same law of sowing and reaping that has resulted in you harvesting some bitter fruit. The same law will be responsible for you harvesting some good fruit. Some fruit that tastes good. Some fruit that brings happiness and joy and peace and intimacy with God. And how do we know this? Because God doesn't lie, and because God cannot be mocked. Y'all, this is a promise in Scripture. And Scripture tells us that what we plant, we will sow. We will harvest. Eleanor Roosevelt said at one point, she said, "I am who I am today because of the choices that I made yesterday." And that is just, that's such a true statement. Never a truer statement has ever been made. That we are who we are today because of the choices that we made yesterday. And you will be who you will be at the end of 2019, a year from now, all right, when we're looking at another year. You will be at that point who you will be based on the choices that you make today and that you make tomorrow and the next day. If you exercise your power of choice in the same way you always have, if it wasn't good, why would we expect anything different? The next verse, Paul says, "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Folks, there's really only two sides. There's really not a middle ground. There's really only two sides. And if we sow, all right, if we plant, if we decide that is where we're going to put our energy, that's where our focus is, that's where our money's going, that's where all of our resources are going to be, and that is to please the physical, think about that phrase, God is not mocked. God cannot be mocked. From the flesh, you will reap destruction. You know, it's kind of silly to think that we could sow to please the physical and expect to get a spiritual blessing. It doesn't work that way. That goes against the law that God has put in place. But if we do so, God promises, if we do so to bless the spiritual, if we sow to the Spirit, if we sow to please the Spirit, and church, that same law is going to bring us spiritual blessing. It's a law of the universe, and it cannot be any different. Verse 9. Paul says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You know, one of the hardest things, and I know there's some people in here who have lived this experience. You ever done good, and it turned around and bit you? You ever tried to do good, and it just it seemed like you were punished because you were trying to do good? That's a hard thing. And, you know, Paul, at this writing, Paul is in jail. All right? He's in jail for doing good. If anybody could have gotten tired of doing good and said, you know what, I'm just going to throw up my hands, and some of us have been there, I'm going to throw up my hands, I tried to help this person or that person or this child or that child, I tried to react in a godly way to my spouse or to my parents, or maybe there's even a brother or sister across the pew that you've done everything that you know of to do, and you still feel like it's just out the window. And Paul says, don't be weary in doing good. Don't give up. Folks, this is not the time. It's never a time to give up. Sometimes we got to give in, make a compromise, but this is not the time to give up. When you're doing good and you know you're doing good and you're doing what you think God wants you to do, don't get wore out with it. Keep on keeping on. Look to God as your strength. Maybe you got to pull back and take a break. But don't become weary in well-doing. Why? Because you're planting. You're sowing. You are preparing yourself for a harvest that God guarantees will come. The last verse in this section, I think, is particularly applicable for a body, for the body of Christ. And he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Do good. To who? All people. Say it out loud. All people. That means do good to the person that doesn't like me? Or is there a footnote there? Did anybody have a footnote that says you ain't got to do that? No. Do good to all people. Do good to all people. People that you don't particularly care for or like or appreciate. Do good to them. Do good to all people, even people that have done you wrong. Do good to them. You know, folks, that is what will separate, that's what separates the worldly person from a spiritual person. I mean, have you ever had somebody do good to you and they had absolutely zero belief in God? I have. I've known a couple of folks who profess to be atheists, and it's funny because yet in them was the image of God. Okay, God created us in his own image. They had the ability to be kind. They had the ability to do some good things. They treated people to some degree as they wanted to be treated. But Jesus takes it to another level. He says, do good to all people. Do good, and bless people even as they are cursing you. And that's what's going to separate. That's a seed, y'all. That's some planting, that's some sowing that is going to reap a harvest that you can't see at this moment. And then he says, especially believers. What a way for us as a church to spend 2019, isn't it? By doing good to our brothers and sisters. By loving our brothers and sisters. By forgiving our brothers and sisters. By bestowing a blessing on someone, even if they hadn't worked for it or they don't deserve it. And as true as this is to all of life, and folks, this idea, this law, sowing and reaping, this is applicable to every part of your life, all right? This is not a secular message, all right? But this law is applicable to college students and high school students. This is applicable to your studies. If you're struggling at work, this is applicable to your work. If you're struggling in a relationship, this is applicable to your relationship. What you plant, you will harvest. It may not be immediately, and it may not be when you think it ought to be, but it's a law of the universe. What you plant, you will harvest. But the most important, y'all hear me when I say this, the most important application of this law is in your connection and your intimacy with the Father. And thankfully, we can choose this. We can choose 2019 to be a year in which we are not only doing good for one another and connected to one another in really, really healthy ways, but we can choose to be connected with our Father. And the law of reaping and sowing guarantees. It guarantees that you can be closer to God in 2019 than you ever have been in your life. And there's nothing more important than that. So I want to encourage you this morning to set your mind to that, and 2019 will be better. And I want to close with Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. This is a promise of God, not just to those in Deuteronomy as Moses was writing this. He says, "But if from there you seek the Lord, your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." I don't know where you're at spiritually or what 2018 has been like for you spiritually. But as I look back at 2018, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that there have been some struggles in the Ferguson family. There have been some hard times. There have been some issues to overcome. And there are still yet some struggles because we're not perfect. We're just like you. But I can also say that I can't look back and say that I've had always had such a great connection, such a peaceful, joyful connection with God. I can't say that it's always been that way. And yet, God's promised that if I will seek him, he's promised us, if we would seek him with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, then we would find him. So this morning, I want to encourage you to make 2019 not only a year in which you serve your brothers and sisters, in which you plant some things that are going to be harvested, not only in your own life, but in the lives of other people. Make 2019, mothers, fathers, make 2019 the year that you really take seriously the sowing, the planting that you are doing in your children's lives. You know, it is an incredible responsibility to raise kids. Amen? We've had Lisa and I and Allie, and I include Allie in on this because we couldn't have made it the last week without her. We had three grandkids. Yeah. I'm telling you what, all you young mothers, you fathers, but especially you young mothers, man, my hat's off to you. It's an incredible, incredible job, responsibility that you're faced with. And this occurred to me as we've had those kids this week. As we raise our children, we are building the future them. That son, you're building a future young man. That daughter, you're building a future young lady. And so, you know, you can think, hey, this is my life and I can live it the way I want to live it, but you are sowing and planting in another life, and there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest. So this morning, I want to encourage you, love your brothers and sisters. I want to encourage you to seek God with all of your heart. Understand that it's your responsibility and that the choices that you make, you have to live with them. Some others may have to live with them as well, which is another a really good reason to double down on those choices. But God is holding you responsible for the choices that you make. And so how you plant and how you sow is incredibly important because there's going to be a harvest. That harvest may be tomorrow. It may be next week. It may show up in a habit or a pattern of living. But there will certainly be a harvest, a big harvest, at the end of the age. Today, if you have a spiritual need, maybe you need to take the step of having Jesus in your life, become a follower of His, be buried with Him in baptism. What an incredible planting that is that will bring a harvest. Maybe you've already done that and you just look at your last year or the last month or the last 10 years or the last 20 years or however long it might be, and you've not planted the way you want to harvest. You've not planted the crop that you would like to harvest. You can change that. You've been given the blessing of life and breath today, and you can change it. Please come if we can help you as we sing.